morning. It's good to be here this morning at Pine Creek and to worship with you. Enjoyed the service thus far. Like so many Sunday school lessons, we didn't get very far in our Sunday school lesson, but we only have half hour to do it, and we didn't. There's a lot of things we could have talked about profitably. I trust that all the classes were participated in well and so forth, and I'm glad to be part of this worship service. We greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's Jesus, like Andy said, that we honor Jesus' birth this week, and we're so thankful for Jesus. And one wonders what you should preach about when you preach about Christmas, because you talk about the birth of the Lord. I don't know if I even like to use the word Christmas so much, but because we do that in our society, we understand what that means. I'm glad to have been a recipient of God's love in my own life through the birth of Jesus and the dying of Jesus and the resurrection and so forth. In 1977, in the Canary Islands, the pilot of a 747 jet was sitting on the end of the runway, and just as another jet came in, another big jet, they were both big jets, I think the other one was a McConnell Douglas of some kind, why the 747 took off, and they collided right above the runway, and the one had 348 people on it, the other had 293 people, something like that. And the end result was that there were 548 dead, and on that runway that day, there was some, I think 30 some people survived. And the authorities investigating that wreck, the Spanish aviation authorities investigating that wreck, concluded that the pilot of the 747 that was sitting on the runway and just took off missed the message from the control tower that he was not to take off yet. He thought he had the green light to go take off, and he missed this message. And he had this tragic accident, and it stands as the largest loss of life in aviation history today. There were 548 people laying there dead, I suppose, in various states, but 548 people die because of the missed message. He didn't miss. Some messages are really important, and that you shouldn't miss the message. Sometimes we miss messages, like lunch is on the back of the gator. We miss that once in a while when we're farming. We're out there chopping or something, and we don't look at our phones, and we see the message is missed, and it's half hour late, and the ice cream is melted, and the sandwiches are cold, and everything like that. We miss the message sometimes on our vehicles. We need to change the oil at 40,000 miles and so forth. Doesn't make a lot of difference. We miss the messages once in a while in church life that the communion is the second Sunday of April. I'm surprised how many times we announce that and people miss the message. People miss the message, and they're listening to the announcements, and they go, oh, April's out there 4 months away. We don't have to worry about that yet. And when we come to 2 weeks before communion, we have missed the message. We live in a madly commercial world. Amazon is sending us messages. Walmart is sending us messages. Ford Motor Company is sending us messages. There are all kinds of messages, especially over this Christmas season, that we are to get. Today, I want to title this message, Have You Missed the Message? And I would like you to turn with me to Luke 2. The missed message that the angel shared is probably the most missed message of our day. In our madly, like I said, our madly commercial world in Christmas season, we have failed to take heed of the angel's message in the Judean plain, and the message is for every generation till now, and it's for all of us. It is found in Luke 2, verse 14. It is glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Have you missed that message? That's the question that we want to ask this morning. Have you missed the message that this baby that was in a manger, we're going to read in Luke 2 here in a little bit, this baby in the manger was to bring God the highest glory, and on earth there was an effect, and it was peace. It was peace for Joe Weaver. It was peace for you. Peace. Bring you peace. I want to look at some areas of that. I think four practical areas where he can bring us peace. Today, I would like to say that the answer of the world, answer to this chaotic world, this world that is churned up like the sands of the sea, as it says in Isaiah, is the infusing of the earth with this message of peace. I would like to say that, as we heard this morning, that love is the essence of peace. Love is the essence of peace. And we could talk a long time about that, but love is the essence. Somewhere in this building, there is an I-beam, I suppose, that holds the upstairs up above the basements. That is an essential part of the construction. And it's the essence. Love is the essence for the world to have peace and for you to have peace. Let's read now in Luke 2, verse 1 and following. I always loved this time of the year, the Lord's birth, and I always loved Luke 2, and so I'm going to read part of that this morning. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's say that all together, that verse. Let's say that all together, the verse 14. Loud and clear. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was told as it was told unto them. On countless Christmas cards, there is this verse. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill. Or Ben. Usually accompanied with a picture of shepherds, their staff, their flock out there in the night. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Peaceful scene of sheep lying in a pasture with shepherds holding their staff. And it says, and suddenly, there appeared an angel. And pretty soon, shortly, there was the host of heaven was there, and it was all, and they were saying this message: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How about it? How about it? If you were a shepherd, you would say what? What would you think of that? Out there in a Judean plain, and you're just out there, and all of a sudden, there's this angel came, and the glory of the Lord shone around about him. And suddenly, the sky was filled with the host of heaven. And they were saying this, glory to God in the highest. Would that make an impression on you? These men were used to about anything. I believe there were coyotes out there on the plane, and they could handle a coyote. There were probably hyenas out there in the plane. They could handle that too. They could handle this sheep falling over the cliff, falling into the pits. They could handle about anything. They were tough. Their skin was bronze and their hair was ruffled. And they knew their business of being a shepherd. But all of a sudden, an angel appeared above him. And then the host of heaven. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Unmistakable message. This wasn't a message that lunch was on the gator. This was a message to the world from then until now. We look at our world today, torn with violence and hatred. Nations at war and threatening war. Nuclear destruction is a real possibility. I read the other day that the Ukraine war itself has claimed 600,000 deaths on the Russian side and 400,000 on the Ukrainian side. A million men went to their graves because of the violence, the lack of peace in this world. 41% of marriages end in divorce. Personal relationships are being torn apart by strife instead of held together by love. Churches are dividing over personality differences. Our earth is not a place of peace. Why? Why? Why did we miss the message? How could we miss it? The question we must answer is this: what does the angel's message mean to us? Is it just a nostalgic part of a Christmas card? The work-hardened shepherds made tough through years of watching their sheep in the field. No doubt they were. There were many crises. There were sick sheep falling in sinkholes. But the angels appearing with this message, it says that the shepherds were sore afraid. If I'd been a shepherd on that Judean plain and didn't know what was going on, I would have said, "What is going on?" The angel said unto them, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I believe the shepherds, they heard this word Bethlehem, and they said, "Oh, I remember on the Sabbath day, when the priest read about this, that Christ would come to Bethlehem, this must be the Messiah." And I believe you can go to Micah 5:2 with me. Mm-hmm. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet thou shalt be, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. And I believe at that very moment, that instant, the shepherds understood this. This was God himself. They stood stunned as the angel declared and asked them to go to the city of David and find the babe. To the message, to the shepherds, this message must have been important. To every generation of people from then until now, over 2,000 years, it is a message of Christianity. It is the gospel of peace in the world. More than that, it brings glory to God in the highest. Glory is what we were created for. Glory to God. Dear ones, today, through this babe in the manger, was blood that was going to be shed for you and me to make us forgiveness of sins. And there's, we could talk about transformation, but dear ones today, people that are transformed by faith in the Messiah are at peace with the world. How about you? Have you come to that peace with the world? In the world. Do the words of the angels mean to you what they obviously say? Peace on earth. The first ones that heard this message were the shepherds, a lowly bunch of farmers. They weren't the big shots in Jerusalem. They weren't the doctors of the law, but it was the shepherds. That says something about the gospel. Another group of people that it came to, among the first was the fishermen. A lowly bunch of fishermen. He came to the tax collectors. This message came to prostitutes. It came to Saul the prosecutor and turned him into an evangelist. There, Wednesday night, we had a topic, and Brother Anthony Leister led us in a topic on Anabaptist history. And he talked about Dirk Willems, who was running from the slave catcher. He crossed the frozen ice. And he was going out ahead of him, and he heard the ice break behind him. And the slave catcher went down. Down into that icy lake. Going to drown. And Dirk turned and went back. And lifted him out of that lake because he understood peace. Dirk died because he went back. The slave catcher, at the behest of the warden, arrested him, and he was martyred for his death. All because he believed in Jesus' love and peace. have four practical areas that peace, the angel's message, should speak to us. Let's not miss the angel's message. The angel's message says that we can be at peace with God. Are you? Are you? Are you at peace with God? Without any question, are you at peace in your heart? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. You can be changed. You can have peace with God. Do you? I ask you this morning. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the angels. Do you miss that message? Did you miss that message? Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, by Jesus Christ. We are enemies of God, and we can be brought to peace with him through his death. The question is, are you at peace with him? I can remember when I knelt beside my bed and I made peace with God. Before that, there was angst. There was turmoil. And suddenly, there was peace. Joe, you are a Christian. The angel's message, don't miss it. Dear ones, today, if you're here today and you don't have peace with God, anybody within the sound of my voice, get right with him. It's easy. Believe in Jesus. Number two, the angel message says that we can be at peace with our circumstances in life. Oh, we struggle sometimes to be at peace with what happens in life. We have financial problems. We have things that cause us anxiousness and mental problems. And the angel's message says that we can be at peace with circumstances in our life. Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your life rest in God's hands. This summer, I suppose you all heard about it, but Elaine and I and another young man were going down Interstate 80 coming east to go into an ordination, and there was these two Harley Davidson motorcycles in front of us, and they were traveling in front. We were in the left lane, passing lane, and these two motorcycles slowed down right in front of me, and I slammed on the brakes, and as soon as I slammed on the brakes, there was this 3/4-ton Chevy pickup, hit us in the back end. It go boom. And then he was going 75 miles an hour, and he came sliding all the way up across our left side, and he just wiped out that van. I mean, we started going sideways and whatever, and all of a sudden got it under control. But, and then as he hit us on the side, he hit us hard enough that in a great big cloud of dust, he rolled a time and a half over into the median strip. I mean, this cloud of dust was right beside us, and, you know, he was this far outside our window. And, you know, it could have been a lot different. But when I got out of the van, we drove down a road about 300 yards and finally got stopped. And my first thought was, God must have wanted me to live another day. And I will remember that Elaine and I usually pray before we go leave the garage. And I distinctly remembered that prayer. Are you at peace with your circumstances? Be careful for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, you can have peace with your circumstances. And what I preached the sermon on resting in the sovereignty of God that next Sunday. And don't you know, in about a month, God took our grandson in a tragic accident, and he seemed to be saying to Brother Joe, do you understand peace and resting in the sovereignty of God now? See if you believe this. See if you can really live it out. Jethro was our grandson. I was sort of struggling with this sermon and why I preached that. It seemed like I just dared God. Okay, go ahead and try it. Go ahead and see. God was saying, okay, see if you can let this out. Walking across the cemetery there, where Jethro was going to be buried, it came to me that, you know, Jethro is only going to wait here until the resurrection. And that just thrilled me. He's only going to be here until the resurrection, and then we'll be with him. That's all that this life can do to you, is take your peace for now. And at the resurrection, everything will be fixed. We'll have perfect bodies. We won't limp anymore. We'll know each other. That's the angel's message. Peace on earth. The angel's message says we can be at peace with each other. We can be at peace with each other. Oh, dear ones. We can be at peace with each other. I probably should just let that there. But I was thinking this morning as I was preparing for this about the Hamas-Hezbollah-Israel conflict. And if you would go to Ephesians 2, we don't have time to go there. But you would see that Jesus died to make peace between the Arabs and Israelis. That's what he did. He is our peace, who made us Arab and Israeli, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no racial discrimination in Jesus Christ anymore. There is peace on earth. Dear ones, I don't know what you believe about prophecy, but I'm going to tell you right now that if you believe that Israel is superior to the Arabs, you're wrong. You're wrong. The Apostle Paul said he hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us and hath made its twain one new man, so giving peace. Peace. We can be at peace with each other. Praise God. Praise God. We are known as the peace churches. We live in peace. We should. We're known as the plain people, but I particularly like the terminology of the peace churches. We live in peace with one another. We live in peace. Ephesians also says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The hallmark of a Christian church, of a church like Wellsboro, what the people in Wellsboro see and what you experience here as a congregation is that you forgive one another when you make mistakes. That's peace. That's how peace comes. More than that, you're tender-hearted. You have compassion on one another. Dear ones, we have peace with one another. Finally, the angel's message says that we are at peace, even with our enemies. Even with our enemies. Dean Taylor is a man who was in the Army. Him and his wife were enlisted Marines. And they began to study the scriptures. And they started to read in Matthew 5. And they read it and reread it. And were engrossed in Jesus' teaching on loving one another. And he said in a sermon, they went to bed one night, and his wife said to him, they were still in the Marines. He said, what if Jesus really meant what he said? And the phrase came to him, resist not evil. What if Jesus really meant that? And whosoever shall smite thee on the cheek, turn to him the other also. What if Jesus really meant that? Jesus goes on there in Matthew 5 and he says, give to him that asketh thee. Elaine has a sister, Becky, living. She lived out in the world. She ran away from home. She did everything. A prodigal daughter. She's out there now, broke. No money. And she's constantly calling Elaine and saying, can you give me another $200? I told Elaine yesterday, it's Christmas time. Another $200 isn't going to hurt anything. Let's give it to her. But Jesus went on to say, love your enemies. Those that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. You know, brethren and sisters here at Pine Creek this morning, I can tell you when you are ready to love your enemy is when you're willing to get down beside your bed and name your enemy, whoever that is, and say, Lord, bless him. Then and only then. Will you love your enemy? Lord, name your enemy. Bless him with money. Bless him with health. Bless him with spiritual life. Bless him. That's hard. My question to you again this morning is, did you miss the angel's message? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray.